Let us whisper a word of prayer that our hearts will praise team. You have just messed me up, I tell you. How do y'all worship the Lord so early in the morning? Amen. Amen. You must have woke up early this morning with him on your mind. I thought of that song. I woke up. Now, let me stop. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for the opportunity of the gospel. We thank you for life and strength. We thank you for the few aches and pains and the sorrows that we bear. Use them, O Lord, to our glory and to your magnification, to show a dying world you yet live. We thank you for these servants. Bless them, bless their body, the praise team, the instruments, the camera guys, and all of the servants that help make the church glow. Hold them up, Lord. Bless them at their home. Bless their body, their resources. And Lord, keep their joy. Now let your word today be spoken as an instrument of your peace and glory, and that these might use your word to further the gospel in our homes and communities. Bless Pastor Reese. Thank you for this opportunity, Lord, and keep him and Sister Reese and the family. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. It is good to be here with you. It's been a little while. To those of you in Facebook land, we say to you, as well as those here in the congregation, we want to share a gospel message in the context of Revelations, the third chapter, the 20th through the 22nd verse. The intent and purpose of this message is twofold. One is to reach and encourage those of the faith of God in the church and along the evangelistic roads of life, but also this message is intended to be an instrument in the spirit of those who have family and friends. And to you, my brother or sister, who might be listening to this ministry of this great church and this great pastor, you might be on break at the hospital, you might be in your police car, you might be at the park, you might be on your back porch or just sitting in your car. And we want you to be encouraged. And to those of you along the way struggling with drug addiction and all of our families and the challenges of life, we want you to know that this message speaks to you. God's love is unlimited in its reach. He loves you. And whatever you do, no matter what junction of life you are in, what challenge you are confronted with, we want you to know this morning, this Revelations, the third chapter, the 20th through the 22nd verse, is here for you. Amen. God bless you. So glad to have my wife with me this morning, Beverly. Just glad to have her by my side. It just felt good. Amen. Amen. Going on 32 years, and so we thank you, and a lot of that is due to your church, this great church, and Pastor Williams and Pastor Reese, and ministering to us over the years as we have shared together. So it's been a community thing. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Revelations, the third chapter, let me just read the verses. I think this is one of the things that's missing in our current day, and especially in the face of the coronavirus deaths and threat, is just the reading of his word. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. Verse 21, to him that hath overcome will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Amen, somebody. Bless you. Thank you for the acknowledgement of the reading of his word. I'd like to draw the thought and subject from the 20th verse. A little introduction on this book of Revelations, but specifically the verses I'm dealing with. And I need to give a little bit of an intro because we have heard that people sometimes a little bit skittish to read and to enjoy the book of Revelations. And hopefully this will also calm any apprehensions that the book of Revelations is just as vibrant, as powerful, as real as any of the other 65 books of the Bible. John has been pulled aside, and God has used him to speak to him, to give him messages and reveal things to him that had not yet been put in context or had not yet been seen. And so, in this specifically, there are seven churches that God tells John, Jesus tells him. So this is a message for Valley Redemptive Baptist Church. This is a message for St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church. And these messages are interesting in the context that each of them are applicable to where that group or individual is in their life. And I love that about the Bible, because the Bible, you know, quite often people will hear a passage of Bible and they say, oh yeah, it might have happened out there somewhere in Facebook land this morning. You might have said, oh yeah, I've heard that before. But see, this is the beautiful thing about Bible. I have read Bible verses and books and letters when I was 30 years old, and then when I was 32, I read those same ones, and they speak a whole new volume of truth and help and joy to my life. So the point is, maybe you heard it before, maybe you read it before, but you have never been where you are in your life this morning. Amen, somebody. The church at Laodicea, I'll nickname it this morning and call it the Laodicean Missionary Baptist Church or the Community Church. It could be Valley Redemptive. It could be any church. But here is the most challenging part, and a lot of people like a little challenge in the sermon. Here is the most challenging part of the sermon, is that this sermon, this message, these writings that God, Jesus revealed to John for the particular church at Laodicea, as a church, don't think a group, but understand each of us are living epistles of God. Your body is the tabernacle of the Holy Spirit. Each of us are walking churches, and Jesus Christ is the hand of our life. I hope so. Amen, somebody. So we're not just talking to the group, them folk at the church. We're talking to any individual. Have you heard the knock at your door? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Behold, look, I stand at the door and knock. And he invites us to understand that he is waiting at the door. Let's understand the door. The door is my fun part. I enjoy that. The door is not necessarily a building, but it is similar to a building. The door, he's standing not in the door, but he's standing at the door. So, Roderick, I could say, and not be biblically incorrect, I could say that Jesus is standing on the porch. If I'm at your door, I'm not in the door, I'm not in the house, but I'm just on the porch. Now, why would a God who is eternal, who is almighty, who is the creator and maker of all things, including you and I, why would he stand on the porch? Why wouldn't he just kick the door in and come in? And say, boy, I've been waiting on you to give your life to me, and you've been jiving around. Sit down and give your life to me. No, he stands on the porch of our life. Why? Because from the porch of life, we enter a relationship with Jesus Christ. From under that tree where you sit at the park, from the roadside where you're on your smartphone and you're looking at this message, Jesus is right there with you. And he loves you so much that he follows you around everywhere you go. Ah! He follows you in and he follows you out, but he stays just enough distance for you to say, Lord, come on into my life. If somebody come to my house or your house and they push the door in and come in, it's going to be a little trouble, ain't it? It's going to be a little bit of trouble. You're going to sprinkle a little water on them, I'm sure. Amen, somebody. But if they stay on the porch and they knock, it brings it to our attention that this might not be a bad visitor. If they kick the door, we ain't gonna open that door. If they bam on the door real hard, we're not gonna open that door. If they scream and rage, we're not gonna open it. Jesus stands on the porch and knocks. And then he says in the verse, if any, and I want to deal with the any. That means you at the picnic table at the park. That means you under the tent, homeless along the road. That means you that's got your arm wrapped up this morning, ready to inject needles. That means you, the snorting cocaine. I'm telling you, God loves you. He loves you in spite of what's in your nostrils. He loves you in spite of what you're putting in your arms. He loves you. And he is gentle with you. From that park, from under that cardboard box, from under that tent, from behind that dumpster, from behind that building, I'm asking you to do one little thing. And that's to say, Jesus, come into my life. You might be saying, Brother Brian, I just can't stop. You might be saying, but Brian, when I get my life, oh, this is a tough one. You might be saying, when I get my life together, I'm going to come over there to St. Paul and I'm going to give my life to Christ. No, I'm telling you, Jesus will save you. You don't have to save yourself. You cannot save yourself. Come to him as you are, a sinner, weary, wounded, and sad, and say, Lord, take my life. Let the blood of Jesus purge me and watch Jesus do the work. To you, gently I speak to my sister or brother that's out there. It's at a point of thinking about taking your own life. I know you're out there somewhere. And I know you're not looking for a sermon this morning. You're thumbing through just looking for some other things. But hold right there and let me speak Jesus to your heart. Instead of taking your own life, as difficult as that is, I offer you a more easier solution. Just turn and look over your shoulder and say, Jesus, 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 come into my mind, my heart, and my soul. Since I got your attention, I know you're not going to stay on there long. You're going to flip to another page. But please, let me give you this one. As difficult as it is, and as much of a challenge it is to test cocaine, heroin, methamphetamines, but you tried it. You don't have a degree in pharmaceutical, but you tried it. You sucked it up in your nostrils. You injected it in your arms. So why is it so difficult to open the door and invite Jesus in? He don't want nothing. He's not going to initiate you. He's not don't want your money. He don't want your drugs. He don't want you to clean up your life. He wants you to let him in. Behold, I stand at the door of your heart. I'm standing at your heart. And he's calling for us to open our hearts. Your heart is the door. Come in, Jesus. Come in, Jesus. I've made a mess of my life. Come in, Jesus. I want to be saved. Come in, Jesus. I'm a sinner. Come in, Jesus. I believe you suffered, bled, and died on the cross of Calvary for my sins. Come in. And when you let him in, do understand the word let. You really are not letting him as you are surrendering to him. Because if he want to move the door off its hinges, he can do it. He don't need a key. He don't need nothing. He can just come in. But what he wants is your submissiveness. He wants you to humble yourself. Get off of those theories and myths about God. Well, I would go to church, or I would give my life, but that ain't nothing but the other man's religion. Oh, that ain't nothing but some stuff. They just want to get you in church. Okay, all that's fine. But what I'm saying to you, if you really believe that, you ought to at least be smart enough to say, but I think I'm going to check it out for myself. Ah! I think I'm going to try Jesus for me. And when I shake his hand, when I let him walk around in my soul, I won't have to go on what other folk say.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice, let me help you with that one. And I really got to do this one as gentle as possible. So if you're struggling with psychological disorders, treat it or untreat it. When it comes to hearing voices, it creates a challenge for you that the average person have no idea of what's going on. When I use terms like open the door after you hear his voice and let him in, you might say, but Brother Bryant, man, I hear all kind of voices. When I'm off my medication, I hear voices, you might say. You might say when you're on medication. So I want to help you at that junction. When it says, if any man will hear my voice, he's not talking about a vibrating noise that touch your ears. He's talking about a spirit that is distinguished and holy and righteous. It is the Holy Spirit. And let me tell you, when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, you will know it's God beyond your psychological conditions. You just got to settle down, find a little quiet place, maybe even get somebody that you trust, that you can pray with. Settle down, a little quiet moment with the Lord and say, Lord, you know I'm hearing all this stuff. You know I'm on all this medication, but I need you to speak to my heart. I need you to shake my soul up and let my cup runneth over. Then you get to know him for yourself. I hope y'all think about this as you're working with your family members and friends. Understand some of the terms we use in religion and in church. They're good terms. They're right terms. They're biblical terms. But they have to be broke down and simplified for certain people's mental condition. Calm myself down a little bit. I remember a story. Poku, can I drink this? All right. I remember a story of a little boy who got caught in a house and several of his family members burned. Later, his family that was left was carrying him to church. And every time the preacher up here like me get carried away and start, you know, oh, come on into Jesus, and oh, he'll put fire in your soul. Oh, the fire of the Holy Ghost will set you free. Well, I was thinking, and as others in congregation were thinking, fire of the Holy Ghost. But the little boy was terrified because fire in his mind, and he turned to his grandmother. He said, Grandmama, now the church is going to burn? She said, no, baby. And she had to work with him to understand it wasn't the same kind of fire that caught in his home and burned his family. We have to slow down and think about what we're saying, preaching, praying, and even singing sometimes. I understand what I'm saying, but do those I'm communicating with, are they receiving it correctly? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Laodicea, I am writing you an appraisal. Jesus is writing a letter through the hands of John to say, Laodicea, I want to tell you how you're doing. And he tells him the goodness of God and how the church is the body of Christ, and how believers can embrace the goodness of God and the glory of heaven if they will hear his call and open their hearts and invite him in. My last point, you know often you get visitors to come visit. Well, y'all, I don't want to put you on the spot, but we get visitors to come visit. You remember this little scenario. And especially if you didn't know they were coming, and you look out through the window, or nowadays the camera, and you see Aunt Tootie's at the door. Oh, my goodness, it's so good. Aunt Tootie's coming. Wait a minute, don't open the door yet. And you run through the house, and you push stuff under the bed. You push stuff under the cabinet Y'all getting stiff now. You put stuff in the closet and you move stuff and you make it all nice. And when Aunt Tootie come in, he said, "Aunt Tootie, it's so good to see you. Sit right here. Don't sit over there. Sit right here." And you're saying to yourself, "That stuff under that cushion, I don't want you to sit over there." "Oh, baby, your house is so pretty. Let me walk around and look at, oh, auntie, look, not today. Look, please, not today. You're going to have to do it another day." "Behold, I stand at the door, Jesus, and knock." If you would respond to his knock and know it's him and let him in, I do want to caution us, when Jesus comes in, you can't stop him in the front room. I'll let y'all think about that. He wants all in my closet. Ah! He wants all in my back room. Ah! He wants under the bed. He wants all my hiding spaces. That's why he said, "I will sup with you. And you with me." That ain't just food, but that's open fellowship. What's yours is mine, and what's mine is yours. Open that closet up and tell me your secret problems. And he works with you with love. He works with you with care. He nurtures your soul. He builds you up where you're torn down. And when there's areas in your life that's rubbish and junk, Jesus clears it up. Quite often you hear people say, "Well, I'm trying to get my life together and I'm going to get back in church." Don't do that. You can't do it. It won't happen. You can't. If you could get your life together, why do you need the church? If you could purge your mind and create a clean heart and a right spirit in your own being, why do you need Jesus? This is why I tell people, and I try to do it in a way they don't misunderstand it, that when you are in church and you have allowed Jesus to come into your life and things get rough, understand that Jesus is doing a work in you. He slipped into some of the corners of your life that you didn't intend to be revealed to the church. You let him in. "Praise the Lord this morning. Good to see you. Yes, the Lord is good. He is." Well, that's good. That's the living room. That's the front room. My mama used to have a room in the house. We call it the museum. And the only people got to sit in that old room was the preacher, the bishop, the presiding elder, the doctor, the lawyer, the insurance man, them kind of folk. And every once in a while, when mama was gone into town 23 miles away, we kids would look at that crushed velvet couch and we would take off and we would just lay all over that couch. Woo! And we would crawl on that white carpet and just lay all over. But when we heard mama was coming up the path, we'd jump and run. And she'd walk in and she'd look at that crushed velvet. And some of it was laying that way. Some of it was laying that way. She'd go on in there and put the groceries down. She said, Who's been on my couch?" She said, "Okay, line up. When y'all decide to tell me, I'll quit." And the weakest link in the chain would start crying. Ah! When Jesus comes into your life, he knows what's laying down. He knows where the devil has just rolled all over you, left you bruised. He knows. All he needs you to do is say, "Lord, it's me. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. I went where you told me not to go. Help me, somebody. I didn't go to Bible study, Sunday school, and you told me to go, and Satan just rolled on me. Lord, it was me. Come on into my life. I hear you knocking at the door of my heart. Come in and take rule of my whole being. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Hear his voice, and you shall receive his glorious reward. Our reward is not just here on earth, but over there. We get to see him face to face. And he said in the verse, it's not just his throne, but he said he's sitting there with his Father. We get to see that. And no matter what all that we have been through on this earth, it cannot compare to the joy and the beauty when we are there in glory land. Let him in. Encourage your family. Encourage your friends. Those that have stopped going to church. Those that even in the face of the coronavirus and all of the 500 plus thousand deaths, some have still refused to give their life to Jesus Christ. You know, some doors are made out of some interesting material. Some doors, you knock on them, you can hear it. But there are some doors now made with other materials, you can knock all day and you can't hear it. Some hearts. Mama, don't give up. Granddaddy, daddy, auntie, sister, brother, don't give up on your family. For Jesus can soften a stiff heart. He will not be muffled down. His knock will be heard. He says, when I come back, nobody will be able to say they didn't hear my knock. Let him hear. Let your family hear the knock of Jesus in your life. Tell your testimony. And let them know that somebody knocked on your door one day.